Chapter 9, Working on Your Business, Not in It. Form is only a beginning. It is the combination of feelings and a function, shapes and things that come to one in connection with the discoveries made as one goes into the wood that pull it together and give meaning to form. James Krevnoff, A Cabinet Maker's Notebook. It is critical that you understand the point I'm about to make, for if you do, neither your business nor your life will ever be the same. The point is, your business is not your life. Your business and your life are two totally separate things. At its best, your business is something apart from you rather than a part of you, with its own rules and its own purposes. An organism, you might say, that will live or die according to how well it performs its sole function, to find and keep customers. Once you recognize that the purpose of your life is not to serve your business, but that the primary purpose of your business is to serve your life, you can then go to work on your business rather than in it, with a full understanding of why it is absolutely necessary for you to do so. This is where you can put the model of the franchise prototype to work for you. Where working on your business rather than in your business will become the central theme of your daily activity, the prime catalyst for everything you do from this moment forward. Pretend that the business you own or want to own is the prototype, or will be the prototype, for 5,000 more just like it. That your business is going to serve as the model for 5,000 more just like it. Not almost like it, but just like it. Perfect replicates, clones. In other words, pretend that you're going to franchise your business. Note, I said pretend. I'm not saying that you should. That isn't the point here, unless, of course, you want it to be. Further, now that you know what the game is, the franchise game, as I call it, understand that there are rules to follow if you're to win. 1. The model will provide consistent value to your customers, employees, suppliers, and lenders beyond what they expect. 2. The model will be operated by people with the lowest possible level of skill necessary. 3. The model will stand out as a place of impeccable order. 4. All work in the model will be documented in operations manuals. 5. The model will provide a uniformly predictable service to the customer. 6. The model will utilize a uniform color, dress, and facilities code. Let's take a look at these rules in turn. 1. The model will provide consistent value to your customers, employees, suppliers, and lenders beyond what they expect. What is value? How do we understand it? I would suggest that value is what people perceive it to be and nothing more. So what could your prototype do that would not only provide consistent value to your customers, employees, suppliers, and lenders, but would provide it beyond their wildest expectations? That is the question every entrepreneur must ask, because it is the raison d'être of his business. It is in the understanding of value as it impacts every person with whom your business comes into contact that every extraordinary business lives. Value can be a word said at the door of the business as a customer leaves. Value can be an unexpected gift from the business arriving in the mail. Value can be a word of recognition to a new recruit for a job well done, or for that matter, to a seasoned salesperson who's been successful for years. Value can be the reasonable price of your products or the dedication you show in the process of explaining them to a customer who needs more help than usual. Value can be a simple word of thanks to your banker for his conscientiousness. Value is essential to your business and to the satisfaction you get from it as it grows. 2. The model will be operated by people with the lowest possible level of skill necessary. Yes, I said lowest possible level of skill. Because if your model depends upon highly skilled people, it's going to be impossible to replicate. Such people are at a premium in the marketplace. They're also expensive, thus raising the price you'll have to charge for your product or service. By lowest possible level of skill, I mean the lowest possible level necessary to fulfill the functions for which each is intended. Obviously, if yours is a legal firm, you must have attorneys. If yours is a medical firm, you must have physicians. But you don't need to hire brilliant attorneys or brilliant physicians. You need to create the very best system through which good attorneys and good physicians can be leveraged to produce exquisite results. The question you need to keep asking yourself is, how can I give my customer the results he wants systematically rather than personally? Put another way, how can I create a business whose results are systems-dependent rather than people-dependent? Systems-dependent rather than expert-dependent. How can I create an expert system rather than hire one? That is not to say that people are unimportant. On the contrary, people bring systems to life. People make it possible for things that are designed to work to produce the intended results. And in the process, people who are systems-oriented, as all your people must be, learn how to more effectively make things work for your customers and for your business by learning how to improve the systems. It's been said, and I believe it to be true, that great businesses are not built by extraordinary people, but by ordinary people doing extraordinary things. But for ordinary people to do extraordinary things, a system, a way of doing things, is absolutely essential in order to compensate for the disparity between the skills your people have and the skills your business needs if it is to produce consistent results. In this context, the system becomes the tools your people use to increase their productivity, to get the job done in the way it needs to get done in order for your business to successfully differentiate itself from your competition. It's your job, more accurately, the job of your business, to develop those tools and to teach your people how to use them. It's your people's job to use the tools you've developed and to recommend improvements based upon their experience with them. There's another reason for this rule, what I call the rule of ordinary people, that says the blessing of ordinary people is that they make your job more difficult. The typical owner of a small business prefers highly skilled people because he believes they make his job easier. He can simply leave the work to them. That is, the typical small business owner prefers management by abdication to management by delegation. Unfortunately, the inevitable result of this kind of thinking is that the business also grows to depend upon the whims and moods of its people. If they're in the mood, the job gets done. If they're not, it doesn't. In this kind of business, a business that relies on discretion, how do I motivate my people becomes the constant question. How do I keep them in the mood? It is literally impossible to produce a consistent result in a business that depends upon extraordinary people. No business can do it for long, and no extraordinary business tries to. Because every extraordinary business knows that when you intentionally build your business around the skills of ordinary people, you'll be forced to ask the difficult question about how to produce a result without the extraordinary ones. You'll be forced to find a system that leverages your ordinary people to the point where they can produce extraordinary results over and over and over again. you'll be forced to invent innovative system solutions to the people problems that have plagued small businesses and big business as well since the beginning of time. You'll be forced to build a business that works. You'll be forced to do the work of business development, not as a replacement for people development, but as its necessary correlate. 3. The model will stand out as a place of impeccable order. At the core of rule number 3 is the irrepressible fact that in a world of chaos, most people crave order. And it doesn't take a genius to see that the world today is in a state of massive chaos. Wars, famine, crime, violence, inflation, recession, a shifting of traditional forms of social interaction, the threat of nuclear proliferation, HIV, Holocaust, terrorism in all its horrific forms are all communicated instantly and continuously to the fixated consumer, to you, to me, to all of us watching TV. As Alvin Toffler wrote in his revolutionary book, The Third Wave, most people surveying the world around them today see only chaos. They suffer a sense of personal powerlessness and pointlessness. He went on to say that individuals need life structure. A life lacking in comprehensive structure is an aimless wreck. The absence of structure breeds breakdown. Structure provides the relatively fixed points of reference we need. It is these relatively fixed points of reference that an orderly business provides its customer and its employees in an otherwise disorderly world. A business that looks orderly says to your customer that your people know what they're doing. A business that looks orderly says to your people that you know what you're doing. A business that looks orderly says that while the world may not work, some things can. A business that looks orderly says to your customer that he can trust in the result delivered and assures your people that they can trust in their future with you. A business that looks orderly says that the structure is in place. 4. All work in the model will be documented in operations manuals. Documentation says, this is how we do it here. Without documentation, all routinized work turns into exceptions. Documentation provides your people with the structure they need and with a written account of how to get the job done in the most efficient and effective way. It communicates to the new employees, as well as to the old, that there is a logic to the world in which they have chosen to work, that there is a technology by which results are produced. Documentation is an affirmation of order. Again from Toffler, for many people, a job is crucial psychologically, over and above the paycheck. By making clear demands on their time and energy, it provides an element of structure around which the rest of their lives can be organized. The operative word here is clear. Documentation provides the clarity structure needs if it is to be meaningful to your people. Through documentation, structure is reduced to specific means rather than generalized ends, to a literal and simplified task. The technician in each of us needs to understand to do the job at hand. The operations manual, the repository of the documentation, is therefore best described as a company's how-to-do-it guide. It designates the purpose of the work, specifies the steps needed to be taken while doing that work, and summarizes the standards associated with both the process and the result. Your prototype would not be a model without one.